Hello, and welcome to the Degree of Freedom podcast. My name is Jonathan Haber, and today we're going to be joined by two people who have not just identified problems MOOC students face with regard to signaling their learning, but have decided to do something about it. David Blake, CEO of Degreed, and Danny King, co-founder of Accredible, each started companies based on the premise that in an era when lifelong learning is becoming the norm, the use of a college diploma as your only educational signal to the world, often representing a degree finished years or even lifetimes ago, is becoming increasingly limited, if not completely absurd. For those unfamiliar with the concept, signaling is a term that has been gaining traction in various independent education communities, such as the UnCollege movement, a term that describes the methods and strategies one can use to communicate accomplishments to important audiences, such as employers, when those accomplishments don't fit a traditional mold. For example, most employers use the name of the college you attended in the year you graduated as their one and only source of information regarding your education. Now, there is vital information stored in that college name and year, some of it legitimate, such as the message it delivers regarding your capabilities as a teenage college applicant and your ability to make it through a college-level program, some of it not, such as use of your graduation year to inform choices which discriminate by age. But even if this one signal is used entirely appropriately, it seems ludicrous that everything you've accomplished in high school and college, including details about the courses you took to earn that college diploma, not to mention everything you've learned since earning that degree should be ignored for lack of a proper home. My guests today are building those homes in the form of two powerful and very different portfolio systems meant to capture the various traditional and unconventional, formal and informal educational experiences that contribute to who we are. David, Danny, welcome to Degree of Freedom.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's great to be on.
A major issue regarding MOOCs has to do with how students can signal their accomplishments in light of the fact that they're not going to end up with a formal degree at the end of their MOOC experience. Danny, maybe you could start us off by talking about how you perceive this issue and why it drew you to start Accredible.
Yeah, absolutely. So from the way I look at it, we're absolutely going through this education revolution right now. It's absolutely amazing that you can have access to the world's best teachers through MOOCs. And I really actually think MOOCs are just the iceberg. Obviously, there's many, many other ways to access amazing quality education right now. But what makes this a revolution is that it really isn't about access to money or who you know or where you live. Really, pretty much for the first time, it's all about motivation. If you have the motivation and an internet connection, you can pretty much become an expert in almost anything you want if you study hard enough. And now we have MOOCs, which packages this together in such a really wonderful way. And so the result is that we're getting many, many people getting really very highly educated kind of on their own. I think self-education is becoming a very big thing now. I think it's in its nascent period and it's going to really explode. So whilst we have all these people getting very highly educated, very capable, they're not sort of getting any credibility with that learning, or not as much as they could have got if they were to go to college, for example. So that's very much what drew me to this. It's such a wonderful learning opportunity evolving all around us, but there is no way to bring credibility to that education you do. So I guess I founded Accredible with my co-founder, Alan, to try and solve that problem. How do we bring credibility to the kind of things that you do outside of college or maybe alongside college?
And David, can you talk about your thinking on the matter of signaling, which I believe you refer to as jailbreaking the degree?
So the term jailbreaking the degree really is kind of an ode to breaking down the unit of the credential. Right now, if you ask someone, tell me about your education, they will inevitably tell you where they went to school or what their degree was in or that they didn't go. We really just have one way to communicate or to signal our education right now in the marketplace, and that's the degree. And yet it's so binary, it's so very inefficient in many ways. And so by jailbreaking the degree, our thought there is to make the signaling and the measurement of education in smaller units. And so kind of course by course, kind of each step of the way, getting credit for what you achieve. And there's enormous amounts of education that happen every year, but that go left uncredentialed. And so if we can get past this kind of stepwise function of education and into a more modular approach of measuring our education, we can begin to make better use of the massive amounts of learning that are happening, that are going left uncredentialed.
We'll get into detail about each of your approaches shortly, but for now, who's been using your services so far and how have they been using it for the purposes of signaling? Danny?
Yeah, so we have kind of a bunch of different use cases, I guess. for how we're being used. The people that tend to use Credible are self-learners. So obviously MOOC users, learning new skills. We also have some college students as well. But basically, it tends to be people that just love learning. And they're sort of using it for, I guess, three reasons. You talked about signaling, which is definitely a major reason that people use it. But they also kind of use it for what we call scrapbooking, and also for just self-motivation. So in terms of signaling, the way that people are using it right now, you know, we don't currently have employers on a Credible sort of, you know, looking for candidates. We're actually building that out in the future pretty soon. But right now, people to signal this are literally putting it on their resume or on their LinkedIn profiles, because every single credential you make on a Credible has this sort of unique URL that you can share. But in terms of scrapbooking, what we're seeing is this really sort of upsurge in people kind of taking pride, indulging in their learning. I know that I think you've used the Credible a little bit for some of your courses, Jonathan. And people tell us, you know, when we say, well, what do you get out of the Credible? They say, it's just nice to have a place to record my learning journey, basically. And that kind of links in with the motivation, which is a lot of people say they use it to keep themselves motivated because they're making a sort of public commitment to themselves. Like, hey, I'm doing this course. So once you sort of got through a little bit of the course and you started to gather a little bit of evidence whilst you're doing it, you don't really want to not do that course because you have to sort of then delete your plate on the Credible. So those three reasons, really, signaling, scrapbooking, and motivation. So a little bit buried.
And David, what's been the interest in Degreed so far?
So we've had a lot of interest, a really strong growth and engagement thus far. So about 100,000 people are on Degreed at the moment, and they've collectively added over 2 million items to their Degreed profiles. And so I think that breakdown right now is split between kind of that lifelong learner, the self-driven, self-directed learner type, the more traditional students or young graduates, and really more kind of a professional group. And so it's kind of split between those cohorts. As I talk about how people are using it, in many ways, it probably does echo a lot of what Danny said, and yet I think it's probably helpful to draw, at least now, a little bit of a distinction in that what I love about a Credible is that it helps me to track my learning kind of as I'm learning, really a deep dive. It really resonated with me in that I kept a binder of every class I ever came through, and I still have those binders. Now they're just in a box in my closet. And in many ways, I see a Credible is kind of the modernization of that, the ability to keep track of your learning as you go, to be able to look back at it, to be able to see those artifacts and the work you've done. And Degreed is kind of at a different place on the spectrum of kind of the credential, where a Credible is a bit more hands-on with the learning and kind of all about the artifacts and the actual process that happens, like, say, inside a course. Degreed is a bit more about your macro journey, so not about what happened inside each course, but about the many courses you've taken, about the many things you do each year of your life, and draws out kind of more of this life journey.
And having used your product, I noticed that you track not just MOOC participation, but virtually any learning activity, including reading books and articles, watching educational videos, and assign points to that. Is that right? Is that how that's supposed to work?
Yeah. Going back to that jailbreaking the Degree kind of concept, we believe behind that there is just so much value in signal, and big things really need to be broken down into micro-credentials, and really small inputs need to be aggregated up, where just watching a single TED Talk might not ultimately be that meaningful, but in aggregate, those pieces of learning do become a meaningful part of the signal. And kind of a potent example is really just the lack of signal around our daily reading. And it is very telling, and there is a lot of signal to know that perhaps you read The Economist and The Journal, and Danny reads Inside Higher Ed and The Chronicle of Higher Education, and I read TechCrunch and GigaOm. There is signal in knowing that, and yet it doesn't really exist in the market in a meaningful way. And so we do believe in measuring all of your learning, and our vision is to be really holistic in the approach. And so we're still working on getting podcasts and slide decks and language learning, and kind of categorically still going through some of the things that can be added to the profile. But ultimately, that is the vision, that everything you do to learn is meaningful and can become part of your story and your signal and your credential.
And Danny, I've used your product as well, which seems to work more like a traditional educational portfolio. Can you describe how Credible allows students to amass evidence about what they've learned?
So what we've tried to do basically is turn credentialing, or the idea of credentialing, on its head. So what we have right now today, usually when you think about credentialing, is you get an institution to vouch for you. So usually you'll go through some sort of learning boot camp. So that could be a college for 4 years, or it could be a Coursera course for 12 weeks. And then at the end of it, or maybe during it, you'll do some sort of examination, maybe some coursework. And basically, if they feel that you've done well enough, they will lend their reputation to you. And that's what brings credibility to the learning you did there. But what we want to do is move it away from that and turn it on its head. And we basically ask the question, what would a credential look like if we reinvented it from scratch today? And I guarantee it wouldn't be, you know, a piece of paper or just a PDF with a couple of pieces of data about you. You know, right now, what do you get when you graduate college? We literally get a sheepskin, right? Just a piece of paper that says where you went and what grade you got. And that's pretty much it. So what we think a credential would look like if you reinvented it from scratch today, well, it would actually have five really key properties. First of all, it would be scalable, right? So it wouldn't matter whether or not 100 or 100 million people did the same course. Everybody who actually completed that course and got genuine knowledge would be credible. It would also be flexible. So learners would be able to showcase their knowledge or skill in any way that suits them. So they could be able to decide how they would look most credible. They wouldn't have to sort of fit into these narrow buckets of what we define as credibility. It wouldn't be about jumping through hoops. Credentials would be about gathering and demonstrating your knowledge in a way that suits you. They would also be ongoing. You know, credentials wouldn't just be some frozen snapshot at the end of your four-year degree or the end of your 12-week course. I studied computer science and I did pretty well, but I've actually learned a ton of stuff since I graduated. But my current credentials don't really take that into account. So a credential should be ongoing and sort of grow with you, level up as you level up throughout your life. They should also be comprehensive. This is what David was saying before. You know, it shouldn't matter where or how something was learned, whether that was in college, in the library, or just through personal projects, or whether it was online. The fact that you did learn it is what should matter. So if you can prove that you know something, that should be the credential. And then finally, and this actually is something that I'm most interested in, a credential should be aspirational. You know, I look back when I was in college, I remember thinking about a credential, and the only emotion I felt really was fear. I was a pretty hardworking student, but I didn't know if I would jump through the hoops in the right way. I didn't know if I'd be able to express my knowledge in the right way. Would I even get this credential? So at best, you know, a credential is just this sort of light at the end of the tunnel that you're striving towards. But I think a credential has great opportunity to be something very, very aspirational. It can be a sort of fire within you instead of this scary light at the end of the tunnel. It can be something that you're building up as you go throughout a course. So given all of that, we basically came up with a very elegant and simple system, which is still evolving today, but moving away from the idea of an institution vouching for you, moving towards you vouching for yourself. So Credible lets you create what we call slates. A slate is basically a claim about yourself, and these are our credentials. You create them yourself, and you start off with a blank slate, and it's exactly that. It's worth nothing to you. There's no credibility there whatsoever. And the way that you become credible on your slate is by amassing evidence of your ability, showing people what you can do. So, for example, you could create a slate for an online course like on Coursera, and if you were to do that, you could maybe record a few videos, 2 minutes long, explaining the five key concepts in the course. That's a really great way to show that you learned something. Or you could just upload the notes that you've done. Or get people on your course to sort of vouch for you and say that, yeah, well, you know what, Danny was pretty hard working and he helped me with these areas. Or another thing you could credential is a skill. So I speak Spanish. I've never really taken many courses in Spanish, but my mother happens to be Spanish. So I think it's kind of crazy that in this modern age of information that we're still using a piece of paper to show that we speak a language. Instead, why don't you just record videos of yourself speaking that language or translate Wikipedia articles, anything that shows you have the ability to do what it is that you're planning to do. So a credible basically allows you to create these slates, amass evidence on them, and get people to vouch for you, say that you are the sort of real deal, that the evidence is legitimate. And then for each of these slates you create, they kind of go on your profile. So each of these slates get a unique URL, which you can link to individually, or you have one URL for your profile, which you can also say share on your resume. That's kind of our approach to credentialing.
I guess even though you both have competitive products and different product visions, it strikes me that your biggest obstacle is not the crowded market, but too few people who understand that they have to put the work into signaling their learning, like we've been talking about. What do you think can be done to gain more recognition of alternative credentials like those offered by Credible and Degreed from important audiences like employers? Danny?
Yeah, I think that's a really, really important question. You know, I think that we're in this very, very early stage right now of this sort of, as I call it, an educational revolution. And I think that what we have now are really early adopters in terms of both the people learning online, but also the people who will employ those who are learning online. And I think, you know, right now, you know, the profile of an average MOOC user, I think definitely from Coursera said, I think it was something like 80% of MOOC users already have a degree or above, right? So they're pretty much already college graduates. So I think that's going to change. But in terms of how do you get recognition for alternative credentials, I think a really big part of it is just engaging with employers to say, hey, you know, I think it's pretty obvious that the way that we currently credential people is pretty inaccurate. It's not a very good heuristic in terms of determining how good people are at things. The credentials that we're using to, let's be honest, judge people are really very inaccurate. And we're losing a lot of people who are potentially very good at subjects or very good at certain jobs, because we're not using the level of accuracy that we could. So I think that, you know, showing people that kind of argument and showing people, hey, you don't have to just take some college's word for it that, you know, what does it even mean if you say I did computer science? What skills does that actually mean? And so being able to actually see what people can do right there on a profile, literally by just clicking on a video, I think that's a very powerful message to show to recruiters.
Kind of getting in some of the meta issues regarding starting a MOOC-related business. I've heard before that while MOOC enrollments include numbers big enough to receive a market in the millions, when you really drill down to calculate the number of people who are actually finishing courses and might be interested in communicating that feat publicly, you're starting to look at much smaller figures. Any worries that you guys might be chasing a market that's too small or made up of people who've only demonstrated their unwillingness to pay for anything?
It's a good point, and you know, we do have this big obstacle of, you know, it isn't the fact that it's a crowded market, it's that it's a nascent market, that it's a brand new market, and that we are having to articulate the value of these things. But I think there's this innate desire to be understood. My very own experience was that when I took the ACT to get into college, I scored very well, and yet that was the spark that got me interested in education. I just felt like this is so asinine that this is not really who I am, and yet this is how I'm being judged. I think to the latter point of, if you look at the end of the MOOC funnel, you know, not that many people are getting to the end of the funnel, and not that many people, when measured by course completion, are yet participating in the MOOC market, and traditionally they're free. You know, is this really a market that can sustain innovation in new companies and ideas? And I think MOOCs really are, as Danny said, kind of the tip of the iceberg, and perhaps just the wrong way to frame the market. I think, you know, Red Bull is actually an interesting kind of analogy, in that Red Bull didn't invent or create alternative sports or alternative athletes. That was already happening. But what Red Bull did in their branding is shine a light on those activities. They went out there and they slapped their brand on as many of those athletes as they could. And kind of in so doing, you know, brought mainstream attention to what was previously kind of fringe activities in the sporting world, and really kind of brought a lot of this into the mainstream. And yet, arguably, they didn't change the participation in those sports. They were already there. And if you think about learning, it's not about capturing just the folks who are able to get through their first or second MOOC. There is enormous amounts of learning happening already today everywhere. And that's true of kind of our most recent catalysts in this learning revolution that we're kind of undergoing, this proliferation of ways to learn. But there was enormous amounts of learning happening 10 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, all beyond and outside the realms of accredited higher education. And so I think, you know, the challenge that we have, and that Accredible and Degreed, I believe, are both very earnestly having stepped up to try and solve, is making that learning as meaningful as traditional accredited credentialed learning has been in the past. And so I don't think we need any more people in this market for it to succeed. It's already enormous. There's already lots and lots, just millions and billions of people learning every day outside of accredited higher education. And our challenge is to meet them where they're at in the learning that they're already doing, and to help contextualize it for the marketplace, help provide them structure and feedback to help inform and guide their learning. And so I really think it's already an enormous opportunity.
Okay, and at least for now, both your products are free. I know that Eyeballs Now, Money Later is an esteemed West Coast business tradition, but are there any plans you could share on how you plan to eventually turn your offerings into revenue generators?
I'm very, very English in the way I think about businesses, which is kind of, I guess, more an East Coast mentality, actually. But we are based in the West Coast, and we do have great, amazing investors from all over the world. And whilst right now you're right, we're not really focusing on profit right now, although, of course, we thought about it. Really, what we're focusing right now is about making an amazing way to showcase yourself. That's what we're passionate about, and that's what we want to build at the moment. But a very big part of that is, you know, why do you want to showcase yourself? So my easy answer to this is it's about getting jobs. So We'll never charge students. We're not trying to charge you to make credentials. We're just trying to provide you with an amazing place to showcase your learning journey. And if we can turn that into a credential, that means it has to be something that makes you employable too. So a very, very natural profit model is recruitment. It would be absolutely amazing if we could change the recruitment process away from being something that is basically a nightmare, even if you did very well at college, like I did in the end. It's really horrible to have to apply to all these companies, that the process is so laborious, it's so inaccurate, you have to jump through so many hoops. Wouldn't it be amazing if the best jobs just came to you? Because Accredible has all of the sort of data on what you can do. Actually, literally, you've uploaded proof of what you can do. We can start to offer you, we think, great jobs based on data, hard data. So we could say, hey, it looks like you would be a great data scientist at LinkedIn. Like, why don't you fast track to an interview? That's basically our dream for the future of recruitment as well, and kind of adding on a lot of value to the whole credentialing side of things.
And David?
You know, we believe there is a great opportunity in understanding everything that you've learned to help you know what to learn next. And so whether that's a book or, you know, a conference or a course or even degrees, going back and either completing a degree or getting your next degree, we believe that in understanding kind of everything that you've learned and what your interests are, where you're leveling up, that we have the opportunity to become a great recommendation engine around your learning. The other kind of business model for Degreed in our future is Degreed is unique in that we quantify all of these inputs. And so it makes kind of the feedback and the quantification of everyone's learning, that's a very unique utility and value proposition that we have in the market. And something we are working with companies on is the ability to not just understand individuals, but to understand entire organizations. In the past, companies have visibility into the training that they've provided to their employees, but they really don't have visibility into everything that their employees know. And so through Degreed and through kind of the quantification of everyone's learning, we can provide this visibility into not just what individuals know, but what teams and departments and even an entire organization knows, where you're the most proficient, where you're the most efficient. And then the other natural value propositions of Degreed help to serve those organizations, helping them track their learning, know what to learn next. And so that's the direction we're pushing in the near future with Degreed.
Okay, well, I'd like to thank both you guys for joining me today. I can't wait to get back and finish my profile on both your systems. David, Danny, thanks for being on Degree of Freedom.
Thanks for having me. Thanks.
Thank you very much. It was fun.
That was Danny King, co-founder of Accredible, and David Blake, CEO of Degreed. And if you'd like to see an example of some of the kind of presentations each of these systems produce, you can visit the degreeoffreedom.org website, where I've provided links to my admittedly unfinished portfolios reflecting the work I've done for this one-year BA project. Now, given my tendency to tangent off something that came up during the interview in the concluding segments of the show, I'd like to use the next few minutes to comment on a couple of the business issues David, Danny, and I just talked about. To read the latest stories related to educational technology, or talk with entrepreneurs bringing their latest edtech dreams to market, entrepreneurs which include the major MOOC providers, it should be noted, the great questions of the day have less to do with education or technology, but rather seem to focus on the quest for a sustainable business model. Services from Degreed, Accredible, and other edtech startups, as well as the content from Coursera, Udacity, edX, and the like, are all given away for free. While the leaders of each of these organizations no doubt have hard drives or cloud drives stuffed with spreadsheets and presentations explaining how they can turn this activity into revenue, the fact remains that we're all navigating unknown territory with regard to trying to figure out where the money is going to come from to sustain all of this exciting educational creativity. When I was running my own business for more years than I'm willing to tell you, I frequently turned to the book when evaluating market opportunities. Not the Bible or the biography of Jack Welch, but a non-existent book used as a throwaway gag in a cartoon based on the old Barney Google Snuffy Smith comic strip, which I've also linked in the site. In it, Barney, a city slicker living among hillbillies, excitedly plans a get-rich-quick scheme inspired by a book he has just discovered entitled Two Ways to Make $1 Million or A Million Ways to Make $2. During that aforementioned business career, I tended to bring up this book title whenever discussion turned to whether we should invest our sales resources into generating lots of small sales that add up, or start fishing for whales, i.e. going after the multi-million-dollar deals beloved by executives but despised by those who have to do the work, including the work of keeping seven-figure clients happy. You can watch Mad Men to find out what I'm talking about. The internet has created a new fondness for finding one of those million ways to make $2 or even 50 cents, so long as those small amounts can be multiplied by monetizing the millions of users of a popular site, such as those online learning sites that have been attracting so much students and so much attention in recent years. But this requires a large percentage of those users to choose to do something that has a price tag associated with it. And given that the only thing all users of a free service, be it Facebook, Google, or a MOOC site, have in common is a readiness to sign up to get something for nothing, the challenge becomes finding a different something that these same users will actually pay for. We've seen some interesting attempts to pan for gold among these big user bases, such as Coursera's Signature Track program or fee-based experiments by Udacity that smooth the way towards turning a MOOC course into actual college credit. But even when these programs make all the sense in the world, on paper anyway, it's not entirely clear we're looking at the number of ready-to-pay customers that can make such business schemes pay off. Then there are all those strategies for generating so-called passive income, such as hosting Google ads on your site or selling your subscriber list to a third party. But given the nature of the MOOC market, I suspect that running ads for a Mediterranean holiday cruise during edX's Ancient Greek Hero video lectures, or letting email marketers have at the enrollment list of a MOOC class, would generate a PR disaster, costing these companies far more than they can earn by selling off their student body to the highest bidder. So some of the traditional .com monetization strategies, which don't always work out so well for non-education.coms, by the way, are not options for edtech companies. What about GASP, charging for what you provide? I know that according to the rules of the new economy, such a suggestion must make me sound like a crazy person. But keep in mind that while companies like the New York Times went through a roller coaster moving from free ad-based to paid subscription-based business models, the Wall Street Journal, which always charged for their online version, went from strength to strength. And if you listen to that interview with Eric Robison, CEO of Lynda.com a few weeks back, you know that it's possible to build a growing, even a fast growth business by offering educational content with genuine value and charging what it's worth. Those on the hunt for viable business models should also bear in mind that the Journal and Lynda both represent a trend I've mentioned in the past, namely that people seem to be ready to spend money on things that will help them make money, like quality financial information or training on job-related skills, and spend time on things that have non-financial rewards, such as the edification associated with taking a MOOC class. And since I'm running out of time, I'd like to highlight in that original Barney Google cartoon I mentioned a few minutes ago, the hero did not try any of the million ways to make $2, but instead selected which of the $2 million ideas to pursue. And for any entrepreneurs out there eager to land a whale, one of those 6-, 7-, or 8-figure accounts that will put your company on the map, I'm ready to share these two ideas with you. Got your pencils ready? Okay, here goes. Number one, find somebody with $2 million and ask him for half. And number two, enter and win a contest with a $1 million prize. Got that? Okay, now go forth and conquer. Oh, and one last link I've got on the site is to a piece I wrote that turns those two simple-minded suggestions into potentially viable strategies. Okay, and now it's definitely time to pipe down and call it a day. But thanks for hanging in there, and I look forward to talking with you on the next Degree of Freedom podcast.